So I'm assuming most of you weren't at the Friday evening prayer meeting, but last Friday there were a missions report from Nepal and Israel team, and to hear those testimonies and reports is always tremendously encouraging and blessing to us all. But the only thing is, it was all in Korean, which means, and because of that, we invited two of the brothers from each team, Teacher Sang and Elder E. Teacher Sang went to Nepal and Elder E went to Israel. We want to invite them up here and hear from what God has done through those two mission teams. So first of all, I want to thank them for just graciously accepting my request. They were more than willing, and they were so happy to be given this opportunity to share this testimony with us. So first, I'm going to invite Teacher Sang to come up and share his testimony with us. And then after that, Elder E will come up.
Namaste. Mero nam sang ho. That means in Nepali, 반갑습니다. Nice to meet you. My name is Sang Kim. Before I start, let us pray briefly. Dear Father, thank you for sending us, dear Father, to do your wonderful work, Father. We have seen your wonderful work and miracles, dear Father. Without you, dear Father, we cannot do anything like that, Father. So we thank you, dear Father. And as I speak today about your mission, dear Father, speak through me, dear Father. This will not be my story, but this will be your story, telling all these people, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So before I start my testimony, I just wanted to share a brief description of where we went and what we did. So if you, yeah. So I don't know if you know much about country Nepal, but we went to Nepal, and we went to a city called Janakpur, so that's in the square on the bottom. And Nepal is located right between India and China. And the people, some people actually look like us, because they their ethnicity is Tibetan, and Tibetan people are kind of like us. And also other people look a little bit like Indian people, because they're kind of on the border, and I think there's some ethnicity from India. And so mission was done from June 1st through 10th. It was 10-day mission. And we have 9 members that visited the city. And Nepali, in terms of religion, Nepali is mostly Hinduism. Over 80%, 81% of the people are Hindu. And followed by other religions such as Buddhism, Islam, and they're only about 1.4% Christian. So there's a really small group of Christian people there. If you go to the next slide, please. So here's what we have done, obeying God's words. And we have really seen God's wonderful work. And without His power, without His almighty power, we couldn't have done anything like these. So first thing what we did was we reached the people who never heard of Jesus. And I think the technical term for that is UUPG. So these are unreachable people. They have never heard about Jesus before. And we basically, after about 30 hours of travel, one flight transferred to Nepal, and then from Nepal, we also went on a flight to go to Janakpur. And from Janakpur, you had to drive about 2 hours to go into these villages. So these are native people who have never heard about Jesus before. So we reached those people, and we just simply obeyed God's words, which is to spread the gospel. So we shared our testimony, and then we shared the gospel, simple message from God. And after that, we also healed sick people. And I'll tell you a little bit about that later on. And then, most importantly, you can see people raising their hands when we ask after the testimony who would accept Jesus as their Savior. And there are a lot of people open their heart and accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then another thing that's important when we visit these villages is to establish church leaders and churches, because after we leave, if there's nobody left there to maintain that the faith, it will be gone. So we established some of the churches there. So that's what we did following God's words. Okay, so you can go blank. Can you go blank? Blank, please. Okay, so so I'll tell you my testimony. I'll read through the script. When I was asked about mission work, my typical response was, not for me, it's for those special group of people. If you're thinking the same right now, I urge you to reconsider if you have faith in Jesus as your Savior and want to save other people. For those who don't know me, let me briefly share my journey to the point I decided to go to Nepal mission work. Because this is a bit of dramatic change in my life, you'll know when you ask my close friends or families. So Gene is in the audience. If you ask Gene, you'll know what I mean by that. When I was young, I went to a Christian elementary school, but with no faith. And was also going to church with no faith because my close friends were going. I used to pray only when I had final exams or if I want something really bad. I had no real faith, but was always around the circle of Christian atmosphere and friends. When I became adult, I was still mere a casual churchgoer, not a true believer. Committing to become a believer seems like a lot of rules and restrictions, and I'm more of a free-minded person. I was living as a so-called Sunday Christian. I still had a group of people who was sharing the gospel to me, with me, and who took me to church in my life. I was still not a true believer, but I knew all along there was something to it. A crisis happened in my life about 10 years ago, and I finally decided to accept Jesus as my Savior in 2012, after I had experienced Jesus' character through my hardship. My faith in Him comforted me. I believe God saw my heart soil was barren, so He had to gut it all out and re-soil so that the seed that was planted a long time ago could finally start growing. Last year, I wanted to act on my belief, so I decided to go to Navajo Native Nation. But I still had doubts in my heart, and faith was still in development. My faith was still in development. For an indicator of my faith, I was looking for a Changno named Seniors when asked to pray for sick people, because I thought that I don't have any power, because I was thinking about me doing the work, not God doing the work. I thought only the special group of believers can do the blessing and healing in the name of Jesus. This year, I decided to join Nepal Mission. It wasn't all a smooth ride during the preparation period. For example, I thought that this level of mission in another country was not for me. I didn't have the same intensity of prayers as others, nor the same level of faith. I prayed hard about it and overcame those feelings and finished the training. After witnessing God's amazing work, who uses even an imperfect believers like me, and seeing those souls being saved, I believe this whole journey was in His master plan. And I'm really glad I went. I explain why. In this Nepal mission, I have witnessed lots of God's amazing work and miracles, including God's scheduling of weather, because we saw it was pouring rain and then it stopped. We prayed hard about it, and actually church members prayed about it. Rain stopped right before we stepped out on a mission work. And rain started again after our work was completed. And the healing of the crippled man. But I have special memories of three events. First, if you can go to the first slide, please. I witnessed a demon-possessed lady, I'll call her YH, was healed when we prayed in Jesus' authority. YH from the beginning looked very dark, seemed like she had big fear in her. It took rounds of prayers And eventually she accepted Jesus as her Savior and healed. When we were leaving, YH was yelling to her village people with joy and brought offerings at the end. We almost couldn't recognize her because her face was complete opposite of when we first saw her. She was born again. Second incident that I remember was this 10-year-old boy. I'll call him GH. During our testimony and gospel, he was sitting right at the front row, listening very attentively to the testimony and gospel. But I noticed he kept scratching his leg. He had some open wound on his left leg. I got really worried about GH. What if it gets infected in this hot weather and it would be hard for him to go to any hospital to get treated properly? I gave him my scarf to cover the wound. He stopped scratching. He followed to our car, kept looking inside, looking for me. I opened the window and said goodbye to GH with thumbs up. He responded back with his thumbs up. I was really glad to see him smiling. I blessed him in the name of Jesus and left the town. I believe that my action was not just a reaction to an wounded poor kid. It was Jesus in me expressing his love for his lost sheep. Third, on our third day of evangelism, we visited a house, and this is a Tibetan people, so you would see that they look more like Korean people. They look just like us. Almost halfway, about halfway of our evangelism, a teenager girl came in and sat in front, but with her back against us. I'll call her SH, and the girl is in the circle. As you can see, we're spreading the gospel, and our sister is doing the gospel there, and there's an interpreter, and she's sitting right in front, but with her back on us. And SH's face was clearly demon-possessed. She was overcast with darkness. During the gospel talk, she was scornful and fidgeting the whole time. She was doing this the whole time. She was very unstable. At the end, the family asked for prayer for her, for SH. She has been depressed, hasn't eaten much, and hasn't spoken for a while. She recently even fainted due to her condition. She looked like about my younger son, Sean's age. And from that moment, I knew that she was possessed by evil spirit. I started praying really hard that she would be saved today. And that was the last day of our mission. I cried out loud for his help as if it was my son. I didn't want to leave without her being saved. I was desperate. I was asking God's help. Again, it took rounds of prayers, but eventually SH accepted Jesus and was set free. She was a new person and smiling in relief. We were all full of joy on the way out and praised God for his goodness and faithfulness. And as you can see, after she accepted Jesus, she somehow disappeared, and the family said that she was washing or something. She came out, that's why she has a little the towel on her hand, but you can't see her face clearly in the first picture, but her face was completely different. It was exact contrast of darkness and light. And we saw Jesus' light was shed on her face, and she was speaking, she was praying with us after she was saved. So through all of his amazing work of healing and miracles, I felt Jesus is alive in us, and he answers our prayers. Now, for those people I referenced who were in darkness and brought to light thanks to God's plan of using me and others, I thought about what if. What if the YH, the woman who was set free and was rejoicing in happiness to be born again, what if that was my mom? And my mom's name is Yonghua. That's why I call her YH. GK, the boy who attentively listened to the gospel and comforted by his touch through us. What if it was my son, Jinhwan? That's why I call him GH. What about that SH, the girl who was set free from demon and found peace in her heart? What if that was my younger son who was exactly the same age as my son? Like my journey to faith was started with a seed planted long time ago by someone. Someone needs to plant the seed in these people's heart. We need to let them know about the same Jesus that we have experienced. The girl's real name was Inji. And I can't think about the alternative history of her not listening to the gospel and live her rest of her life in darkness. I don't want to think about that same alternative for my mom, Younghwa, my son, Jinhwan, and my son, Seunghwan, who have not accepted Jesus as their saviors yet. You need to go and share the gospel to save somebody's precious sons and daughters on the earth. And more importantly, they are God's precious sons and daughters. 덧녀발 예수. That means thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I'll breeze through my PowerPoint slides because I got 19 of them and I've got 10 minutes. So when I click my right eye, which is the next page, there were four of us who went to Israel. And today's my presentation will be more of a report than a testimony, and then I'll share at the end what God has inspired me to share with you. So Israel, how many of you know where Israel is? It's a small country. There are only 9 million people. The size of the land is about the size of New Jersey. And it's very small. And there are almost 75% of ethnic people are Jewish. And the 21 Arab, and the others are others. I don't know what the others are. But even Arabs are the Israeli citizens. So there were four of us. And before we went through 10 weeks of intense preparation. Well, preparation. And our goal, our prayers, was that we will do what Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 10, that God will allow us to meet everyone he wanted us to meet. And before we will go into a village or a town, we pray for the peace of the household, homes in the village, that will find workers and they find men of peace. And they will. And as Sang teacher mentioned, you can spread the gospel, but if you don't follow up, then they go astray. So we were praying that we'll be able to find either Jewish or Arab Christians, a Christian or at least one, to start a home church. And those who we meet will believe Yeshua to be Messiah. That's the Hebrew. Anyway, that they will believe Jesus Christ to be their personal saviors and become children of God. And I went to Israel in 2012. We only had one tool called D1 and a bunch of pictures about Christ being a Messiah. But this time, we found a lot of other tools. Evangel Cube is one, and there is a Hebrew song. The words are John 3:16, and there is a Vision Trip app that you can download on your phone, and you can actually go through gospel, Jesus' gospel, in Arabic and other languages as well. And there is the Tamil evangelism method. Jesus, Isa in Arabic, is actually mentioned in Quran. And the problem is, the Arabs do not read Qurans. So they don't know that Isa is mentioned in the Quran. And Isa is actually mentioned as the virgin-born Messiah. But they don't read it, so they don't know. So we armed ourselves by preparing ourselves how to spread gospel using the method. And there are many videos available out there now that you can actually study and effectively spread the words of gospel of Christ. Okay. I was really surprised in my iPhone when I came back. I looked at my iPhone, the significant locations that I visited, they were all there. All those green circles, the blue circles are the ones that we visited. We went all the way up into the Lebanese border, all the way south to Egyptian border, and we didn't go to the Syrian border this time, but we went very close. So we actually visited many different Israeli villages and Arab villages. And we met a lot of people. We'll skip through, go through these pictures really quick. And it was really interesting that we met them accidentally. We went to this kibbutz. We were talking to a social worker, and we're done. So we were going to go out to the next kibbutz. And then I saw this old elderly man. He could barely walk. And God gave us the heart to pray for them. Now, before we start the prayer, his son came. And then he actually invited to their family, so a home, so we visited them. So that's how we work. We go to kibbutz or Arab villages, and then we say Mumkin Hammam in Arabic. When we go to Arab villages, that means can I use your toilet? And for when we go to kibbutz, we say Ma'im Bevakasha, water please. And that's how we actually go in, were able to go in. And if you look at the good-looking guy at the bottom right, that his name is Itamar, and he was just happened to be in the kibbutz cafeteria, and we were hungry, so we went to kibbutz, and then we was a lady first sat right next to him, and I sat next to him, and then we started talking, found out that he was a non-religious person, started talking about the Mashiach in Bible. And he said, I'm not a sinner. I don't sin. So I was really surprised that there are many Israelis who thought they don't sin at all. And so I prepared for this, and then I quote him Proverbs. And the Proverbs in Hebrew is Mishulei Shlomo. And in chapter 20, there is a word, a saying, the verse that says everyone sins. And then his face changed. He started acknowledging that there's a possibility that he's a sinner. And then I was able to talk to him, and then we prayed for him, and then his face changed. Next. And then we went to, my heart aches when I see this picture at the bottom left. We went to this kibbutz, and no one was out. So we parked our car, and we stepped out just to go around the village. And there was an Indian lady. A lady came out, and she was Indian. She spoke English. And she was one of the caretakers in the village. She said, I have to go, but I'll bring my friends out. So her friends brought out the people that they were taking care of. And it was just amazing. And the lady brought me two ladies here. They said, you know, we don't believe in Jesus, but we will give you water, drink with your water, and go. Right? So there are different type of reactions there. And this is when we went to the up. One on the right side is when we went up the north, Shulomi. It's close to the Lebanese border. And she was alone. It was really windy. No one was out. And we talked to a gentleman who was outside the building. He said, right? So we decided to go knock on a door. And she came out. And she didn't speak English at all. So we had a hard time communicating, but we used a Google Translator and talk. And we were able to show her EvangelCube. We were able to talk to show her the video in Hebrew that shows that Jesus was indeed Messiah. And one on the left, from your viewpoint, is when we visited the southernmost kibbutz. That kibbutz, we couldn't go in because the gate was closed. Someone from the inside had to open the gate for us. But we again. It was a miracle in that the soldiers came past us, and then they go in to buy some stuff because there was a mark within the 24 kilometers range. There was only one mark, and that mark was in the kibbutz. And when we actually went in, a lady, a young lady in the kibbutz who was working in the mart, said, you know, a lot of people visit my father. Why don't you go talk to my father? And so we went there, and the gentleman there and the lady are Messianic Jews, meaning they're Christian Jews. They don't call themselves Christians, but they call themselves believers. So, God was, that happened on Friday, the last day before we came, okay? And we met the Arabs as well. One on the far left on your screen, his name is a Muslim. And there was nobody on the street. It's very unlikely in the Arab villages there was nobody. So while we were walking, and I started praying, the God, you sent us here to meet the people that you wanted us to meet to spread the gospel of Christ. Where are they? And when I stopped, and there was an open door, and his uncle was sitting there with his mom. So we went in. What did we say? Can we use your toilet? And they invited us, and then we were able to talk to them. And we talked, we used a camel method to him, because he spoke English a little bit. Okay. And we met more people. My heart goes to the gentleman in the middle. His name is Ali, A-L-I. Sister Jahar on the upper right-hand corner. They had some sort of an accident, traffic accident, or motor accident, and Ali, he couldn't read or write Arabic. He said because of the accident, he has a psychological problem or mental problem, whatever. He couldn't read or write, but he told us that he became a TV junkie. He didn't even want to talk to us. But when we actually prayed for him, he changed, he opened his heart, and he brought food out, even during the Ramadan period. They don't eat and drink, but he brought the food out, and before we left, he was hugging us, and I still pray for him and Jahar. Jahar, because of the accident, could not walk. One of our ladies saw her coming crawling out of the bathroom because she couldn't walk. And so we pray for, the ladies pray for her as well. Later on, I'll give you a short prayer request that includes those two. Okay, and then we spread the prophetic code, which indicates that all testaments that indicating that Jesus is Messiah. And Tom, we found the way we talk to them is that once we go in, we have a conversation, we establish a relationship, and then we talk to them about Jesus Christ. And he had his 31st birthday a few days back, so we actually sang birthday song for him, but the video didn't work, so that's okay. All right, and then we pray for them. And the one on the far left, the gentleman with the blue shirt, he has a tic disorder. He speaks very good English. He had a very open mind, a view on the world and the religion. And we believe that he's a man of peace. So we were going to work with him continuously to see if we can set up a home church through him. And we meet various different people, and we pray for them. And next, please. And then we use a Avenger Cube to tell them about Jesus Christ. Look at the intensity and the interest that they were showing. And I used my iPad Pro to show this lady that we met in Shalomi. She spoke no English at all. So the video actually is in Hebrew. And she was very attentive, listening that the Yeshua indeed was a Messiah. Next. So we use the Avenger Cube. This is the John 3:16. And the ladies follow us, sang with us in Hallelujah. And the lady with the beam, she was so moved by the song, she asked her caretaker to see if she can hear that song over and over. So we gave her the YouTube link. And we sang that song again, and they were following. And I saw tears in their eyes. Okay, next. All right, so what do we need to do? So why am I here? What do I want to share? There's Christianity in Israel is 2%. Among those 2%, 133,000 is Arab Christian. And Jews still don't believe in Jesus Christ. And what I see here is a half-filled glass, right? Because we have so many upward opportunities. And you know, these people, Israelis, unlike 2012, a lot of them spoke English. And I asked them, how do you speak English so well? Oh, we watch TV. And they watch the laws, and they watch the, all these American TV dramas and things like that, and they can speak English. So there's one place that we went that we got rejected, two places. One was in the Palestinian area. So Israelis, they were not supposed to go in, but so the world condemns them illegal, but they go into the Palestinian area, they set up the settlements. And there, to go in there, you have to go through the soldiers with the guns, rifles. And we went into one, and the lady, as soon as the lady saw us, she told us, why are you here? What are you doing? Are you missionaries? Go home. And then she just turned around and went inside. However, all the other kibbutz and Arab villages, they were welcoming us. And they spoke English. And to me, it's a great opportunity. The reason why I'm sharing this with you is because you all speak English very well. And unlike the other countries and other the continents, we have an opportunity. I see a lot of low-hanging fruits. If we go there, and if we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, a lot of people will hear, and we'll set up the home churches there, and a lot of the Christianity, the percentage, I believe is going to go up. We'll go out to the Arab Christians, Arab villages. We'll also go to Israeli villages as well. I have the prayer request, and I can share this later on. But if you can pray for Alon, Ali, and Jahar, I'll really appreciate it. Just pray, if you remember, once. They'll be great. And I'll share two more things. One is that on Friday, I didn't know, we'll also ask to submit our trip report, right? So I submitted a trip, I summarized my thoughts and the report, submitted the trip reports. There were four of us. I told myself the chance that I'll stand up in front of the congregation and share my thoughts will be 25%. Yay! However, I was picked. So on Friday morning, I got an email that I'm supposed to go out there and KM and share my thoughts. So I asked God, okay, these are the summary of my thoughts. What else do you want me to talk to these people? What is it that you want me to share with these people? And then God gave me two inspirations, right? One was that the missionaries there. We're working with the missionary Kwan. We've been working with him for the past many 10 years or whatever. He's been there for 10 years. In 2012, he had a daughter, Noah. She's handicapped. She cannot, she's 6 years old now. She cannot walk, she cannot talk, she cannot eat by herself, she cannot go to the bathroom by herself. So missionary Kwan and his wife will have to take care of her. And I invited them to lunch. And the menu, the prices were very high. They didn't know what to order. They were kind of hesitating. So I ordered meat platter. And one of the ladies said, can you order meat platter as well? I said, why not? Go ahead. It was the most expensive item. But later on that night, I found out this is a self-imposed discipline. They set aside the amount of meat that they eat a month. And they set aside the $400 or $300 a month for their living space. Missionary Kwan lived in, he claims that he lives in third floor, but doesn't seem like they count the last first floor, because I count the four. So she has to, her mom has to carry her on her back, the little one, and the old one, somehow, I don't know how she manages to do that, and the stroller, every day. And there were a couple from Pleasanton, there were a couple from Seattle. They went there, they could just live here comfortably, but they went there, and they live on a small amount of meat. It's a self-imposed discipline. No one's asking them to do that. And I ask God, why? They could have a comfortable life back in the States. Why are they here? And I think the God, the inspiration that God gave me was, because they have the same heart that I have. I want these people to know that Yeshua and Isa is Messiah. That's why. And they knew that there are a lot of low-hanging fruits there. They didn't know in the beginning, but it's becoming more and more like that. They wanted to go out there and spread gospel to those people. Missionary Kwan said that the growth rate of the Christians is very small, very low. But he sees the opportunity that there can be a great revival coming. And I think the Alon, Ali, Jahari, and those old ladies with tears, they're all low-hanging fruits. I think we, Maranatha Houston Church, English ministry, and youth ministry possibly, if we go there, there's so many people that we need to visit. If we go there, we harvest those low-hanging fruits, I think the great revival is going to come in Israel. And those are the two things that God asked me to share with the congregation. So I did in KM, and that's what I'm doing here as well. By the way, Shalom, Ani Kenneth, Nai Meod, Merhaba, Ana Kenneth, Assalamu Alaikum. Those are the greetings. And to part, Elohim Tov, that means God is good. Toda Rabba, thank you very much. Shukran Jazila, thank you very much. Leitraot, bye. Ma Asalam, thank you very much.